manual and thoughtful, and then you can treat somehow, you can sound that way, and then you can recordings, and then I accumulate those recordings, and eventually you start putting things together, and that's what I use for composing. And in this case, I just got a folder with like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of sounds, and then the program goes to the folder and grabs something, but without me knowing.
Do you organize them by like types of sounds at all? Like,
in this case, yes. In this case, I have four different folders, and each folder is organized depending on what kind of material I'm using.
What are the titles?
What's that?
What are the titles of the folders?
No, I just gave the numbers.
Oh,
years.
Numbers. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
But is it like higher tones, mid, like lower tones, crunchier sounds, weirder sounds?
Well, in a folder, let's say I have something that is more like textures, and in another one I have something that is more like frequencies. And
as the program knows, like, look for a frequency right now, look for a...
And then I have players, so I have 8 different players. And each player has the capacity to go to one folder that I have assigned to grab whatever sound and start moving around.
Cool.
And then I introduce and take out the players as I wish. And then I have a couple of folders. I have also samples from musical instruments, which is something that I never ever do.
So there was piano.
Huh?
There was piano, right?
Yeah. So Daniel can vouch for that, and I never use musical instruments, but I just started, so found that exciting.
It's
so
cool that it's like thought out, planned, organized, but then for the performance, it's kind of now whatever happens.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I always think that you have to imagine, you have to have some sort of imagination. Map in your head or in your ideas, in a way you get those ideas into the kind of process you're doing, but in a way that you know to some degree what you're going to do or what can possibly happen, but then the rest, the other 50%, let's say, is this space where everything sort of unfolds and becomes.
I used to be a chef, and it sounds like cooking. You have your mise en place, but then anything can happen.
Exactly, it's alchemy, You have to, to some degree what you're going to do, but you have to also, you need control, you need experience, you need knowledge, but you cannot, at the same time, make it an absolute control or execution of knowledge. There's a room for things to sort of like manifest. That's what we try to create.
How do you stay so calm?
Okay.
When you look so calm and in control, like, you never seem flustered like a cook in a kitchen with all that, these pots, like you. You just don't have enough to know.
I guess because this is maybe one of the easiest setups I have ever done and have, by Louis Moonhouse and Faders. Where most of times when I perform, I'm more tension, more stress, because I have everything that I'm doing can fall apart in a second. And you always tense, and do a lot of things. But here, my anxiety would be whether or not the program will crash.
Yeah, exactly.
but it's pretty stable, so.
A lot of what you were doing was just adjusting the volumes of the 8 channels,
listening to what's coming out and what's happening, and then I have some choices in whether or not I allow for that to continue or take it out, and then I'm always like paying attention. It's almost like watching the kids play in a schoolyard, and when you see somebody playing, you're like, get out of there.
It doesn't matter where you sit in this room, right? I mean, unless you're there, but the sound doesn't affect everybody.
I think the center would be probably the best place.
The room is fairly live, so it's pretty, it doesn't make that much of a difference. It would only be if you're sitting like very close to one speaker, hear that speaker more than others, and if there's a lot of material coming out of that speaker, you lose some of the spatial aspect of it. But
sorry.
Yeah, no problem. Just talking.
Sound engineer for that event, and then that's how we met, and then we started talking. And
yeah, I've had CDs and things from Richard before I moved to the US, and so then I was also aware and excited to start talking. And then, yeah, since 2009, we've also collaborated together on performances and done many things.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'll put my bass tone back on.
Richard,